to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 34, and we are the podcast that every week picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No takebacks. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here every week by my co-host,
Tyler.
And we are going to talk about Captain Marvel.
Not America.
Not America.
Every single time I say Captain Marvel, I think I almost say America.
Yeah, or type it. Or, yeah, like, they yeah. really need to figure out, like, different names for some of their superheroes, because they're very
yeah,
close together.
Captain Marvel's not a good name, really.
It's really not. And
that's the kind of name that's, like, they wanted to make something that, like, almost, I don't know, I almost feel like it was, like, I don't know the origin of the name, but it feels like it was supposed to just be like, hey, by the way, Marvel Comics.
Well, the thing is that yeah. Captain Marvel was originally a DC hero. Like, not the Captain Marvel we know in Marvel, but there was a Captain Marvel in
DC. Oh, I think I knew that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a Captain Marvel in DC, and then there's a Captain Marvel in Marvel, and it, yeah.
Because I know Marvel's a word, mm-hmm. but I always, you know, just hard to not think about, like, the company now.
It's Marvel.
Yeah.
which is funny, because that just makes me think of Carvel and their amazing ice cream cakes. I'm terrible. I only think
they're the only one that would think of that, yeah.
I know. Like, but just to let everybody know, because we are recording this maybe 2 days after the world release of this film, and you're going to be hearing it on on a Monday at, like, maybe 4 days after this movie has premiered. If you have not seen this movie, you should not listen to this podcast episode until
Full spoilers, or are we going, like, let's not go wild, but we can say whatever, or what are we doing?
We're going to go full spoilers.
Okay.
Because I cannot stand having a discussion about a fucking film where you can't spoil stuff.
And so we can just talk about how, like, Captain Marvel dies.
Yeah, she dies at the end. I mean, like, how else are the Avengers going to come back to life if she doesn't make the ultimate sacrifice and absolves everybody?
Movie.
Yeah, she died. Well, you know, like, it happened to Jesus. It's fine for Captain Marvel. She dies for all of the rest of the superhero's sins. You know, because she is
What movie did you see? When did you go to?
She's
going to the wrong theater?
Back 3 days later.
Yeah. Have they announced a sequel? I mean, I'm sure she'll probably get a sequel, but, like, have they announced that already? Do you know?
I want to say that the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, PowerPoint slate of movies has already announced it as part of their
sequel. Because I know that, like, Captain America did when the first one had come out, and same thing with, like, Spider-Man had a second one.
Yeah, I'm looking at let's look
it
at
it. Might not yet, but I'm sure it will. I'm not sure if that's just I wonder if they stopped making that as public lately or something.
Yeah, I do remember. Well, let's look at the production slate. It is not in order on Google.
2018. I don't know. I honestly could see them. I don't know. Well, they would probably do another movie. I have no idea what they'll do, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So when they first talked about actually having an implemented plan for Marvel movies,
phase two, they're on, like, phases.
We're in phase four right now.
Four? Okay.
Yeah, we're in phase three. We're at the end of phase three as far as that. Oh, my God. Have we actually gone through all three phases of that, like, production slate already?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Black Panther. I remember when Black Panther was like, oh, they're making a Black Panther movie. That's so far away, though, that's going to be cool. And then we've already had that.
Yeah, the Wikipedia says Avengers Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home is, like, future releases. So, there's been a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 that's been kicked around, an untitled Black Panther sequel, an untitled Doctor Strange sequel for, you know, the three people that care about Doctor Strange.
I forgot that movie exists.
I forgot that movie existed. I forgot that Doctor Strange was in the Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah, he was in Avengers. Duh. Yeah, he's like, I forgot. Wait, he's got time stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he dies, I think.
Oh, right. He dies. I forgot.
He dies.
He dies, right? Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah,
oh, by the way, Avengers spoilers.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you haven't seen Avengers yet, I don't know. Like, you gotta know that half that movie was people dying. Like,
yeah, it was a meme, so.
Yeah, so this is also going to probably spoil other Marvel movies and stuff like that, but it's also, like, it's going to be fun and refreshing because I don't remember what happened in Avengers Infinity War because so many people died and it was a bad movie.
I think the purple guy snapped his fingers. Barney snapped his fingers and everyone disappeared.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say it looked like raisin testicle Josh Brolin, but
okay, yeah. Well, that's
like so. Captain Marvel, Tyler, you
it was
saw
Grimace from McDonald's.
You saw this movie ahead of me, and I just because I literally just walked out of the theater an hour
ago. You're on your bus. I'm just kidding. Yeah,
no, I just walked out of the theater an hour ago. Tyler, you saw it like yesterday or the day before? So
I think it was, I don't remember. Yeah, sure, yes, yesterday.
So what are your, like, because you've had a little bit more time to kind of like digest it, chew through it, what are your kind of initial thoughts about this movie, especially because it's the first Marvel movie that we've gotten with like a female headliner, basically?
Yeah, okay, first of all, what was the other superhero like female lead that we got recently? Because I was listening to a podcast and someone's like, well, this didn't work out for the last like female superhero movie.
Wonder Woman?
Oh, right, Wonder Woman. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know why I forgot about Wonder Woman. I forgot that, because I've seen that, but I just forgot that existed. Okay. I forgot that she got her own movie. I knew that she was in Justice League or whatever, but... Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know. This movie... I don't know. It's weird. I think it's... I've been thinking... Because I listened to a podcast afterwards watching it, and I don't know. It's weird. I didn't like it that much, to be honest. I thought it, like... I guess you said it was fun. Which
fun.
I guess I would agree with, but I feel like that is like every Marvel movie is sort of fun, I guess. But I think this movie has like really rough spots, and it does really, like, I think you mentioned when we were just typing like DMs, you said something about it being like really low stakes. And
yes.
I think I felt that too. And that was what they were talking about on the podcast, is like, there's just not really, like, it's not it's coming after Avengers for us, but it's before, but it doesn't really have any, like, it starts with the Kree, and you already know that the Kree are evil, so it's like, it doesn't even, like, that twist to me wasn't even really...
I didn't know the Kree was evil.
Oh. Because
I don't know anything about this particular comic book series.
Yeah. I guess I just knew that, like, that dude... I don't know. I figured that the Kree were not good. I figured that twist would be a thing. What was the other... Oh, but the only thing that, like, it's weird, because I don't really like the plot stuff, because it's sort of whatever, and the writing's not very good, but, like, some of the really broad strokes, like you said, that's, you know, the scene where, like, she's getting up a bunch, you know, like, getting up again and, like, you know, like, doing what she wanted, like, to do, and without, like, you know, being told she can't kind of thing, like, stuff like that is, like, okay, that's really good, because that's, like... You know, that's definitely a actual struggle. And then also the stuff where it's like, I don't know, part of the movie is a little bit about like her dealing with like trauma, kind of, you know, like she's got these like memories. And then she's also talking to that woman, even though it's like the other, what is the name of the?
It's the Supreme Intelligence.
The Supreme Intelligence.
It is
like
an AI that controls the entire civilization of the Kree. So it's basically like Amazon.
Yeah, so I feel like some of that is like, okay, you're talking through like almost like therapy, like through the things you've went through, because like she's having this realization that she was lied to, or like she didn't remember this stuff.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff is sort of interesting, but like I think you also said that it was like sort of underwritten, or you just said like there's just not a lot of writing here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's like also her relationship with her best friend.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's not a lot there, really. I mean, that she's a good actress. I don't know her name, but like she does a really good job in that scene, like at the dinner table thing. But it doesn't. You need more than just somebody crying. I don't know. Like this movie feels really under the weight of all of like the stakes of the Avengers and stuff like that, and it's like kind of it can't really like it doesn't hold up against that stuff, even though I don't think it should have to. It kind of does because everything else, you know, we're not in a vacuum, so it feels really weird to have such a really simple story. But they really like, because it feels, again, I have this constant problem with Marvel movies where it feels so constructed because of the franchise, and so it just feels like they need to do as fast as possible, as little as possible, to get you to understand who Carol is, and then just insert her into Avengers, like because by the end of the movie she's already incredible, she's a god again, like she's, I mean, not that she wasn't like from the beginning, but you know what I mean, where it's like already she is prepared to deal with Avengers things. So it makes, I feel like it, I guess the most of the movie, I know I'm like jumping around, but it's like, for me, it's like the movie is just like this mixture of like trying to do these different things just to get her to the, like you said, like point, like, you know, point B, from point A to point B, so she can deal with Avenger stuff, which is like the more pressing thing.
Yes.
And I think that makes the movie feel sort of, I don't know, kind of like not, I don't know, it just feels a little bit artificial, but like it feels like it's frustrating because there's stuff in the movie that I wish they would spend more time on, but they clearly don't want to because that's not the goal.
Yes.
And that's really frustrating, I guess.
It's extremely frustrating because here was heralded to be the first Marvel female superhero frontrunner. It's based on an extremely popular comic book run written by like Kelly Sue DeConnick and a couple other people. It was basically what brought a lot of women who had never read comics or who had kind of fallen out of the big two back to Marvel. It heralded kind of this like new wave of Marvel trying to diversify its lineup with like Captain Marvel and the new Thor and the new Iron Man, who isn't Iron Man anymore, and what's her face, stretchy girl.
I know who I can picture it but I don't know the name. What?
Yeah, like she's Pakistani, I believe, and she's Muslim.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, maybe.
I'm just going to look, like, you're going to hear so much typing because I have problems remembering. Kamala Khan, she is, what's her superhero name, though?
Yeah, the superhero name.
Her superhero name is, she's an Inhuman. Oh, she's Miss Marvel.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because Carol Danvers, she meets Carol Danvers. And that's how she, like, I think that's how she gets her superpowers, I believe, actually. Is she touches Captain Marvel. I read the first couple of issues of Miss Marvel. So there's Miss Marvel, you know, like a lot of new stuff that Marvel was trying to get a lot of, like, different diverse people to read their comic books. And Captain Marvel was really big. And this was supposed to be, like, this big tentpole part of MCU thing. The problem is that the MCU juggernaut is up and going, and we're into phase four now. And
yeah, I mean, there's two more movies this year, I think, right?
Yes, there's two
soon,
more
within
movies.
The next few months.
The next few movies, we have Avengers End Times or Endgame or
Endgame, I think.
Endgame? Yeah.
I think it's Endgame.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man
Home. Spider-Man Europe. Adventure
far team. From home
Europe trip yeah
I think it's called home. Far from home, but yeah,
far from home. I still think of it as Euro trip Spider-Man, but
yeah,
so we really don't have any time to actually care about Captain Marvel.
And I guess we need to mention that, like, when you say there's movies coming up, it, like, we're saying this one is essential to the next one, which is essential to the next one.
Yeah. This
and they're not going to be out, like, out of theaters by then. Or they're going to be out of theaters, but not, like, you can watch them anywhere else.
Yeah. So this movie season this year is intense, and it's hard because Captain Marvel should have gotten her own origin film a long time before this. It should have been an origin film 2 years ago. And that would make her getting called back make more sense a little bit.
And then it would also, like,
have room to breathe.
The tone of it would just fit with, like, something like the first Iron Man, where it's like, oh, a superpower, like a superpower person.
Yeah,
but now, like, it's just like, oh, she has magical god powers. Okay.
We need her.
I mean, yeah, I've seen Thor.
And we also needed, a lot of her story was actually about kind of contextualizing her against, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers program and Nick Fury. And also bringing in that, like, blue-faced guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, Roland, I believe.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to have to read a synopsis of why that guy is involved, because I don't actually know at this point, because I don't remember Guardians of the Galaxy very well. And also, like, man, how did the Tesseract get from
Tesseract
one place to
related,
the
right?
It's Tesseract related, because everything has been largely Tesseract related. Like, that was the Thor storyline for a while.
Yeah.
And Guardians of the Galaxy and all sorts of stuff. But then we got caught up with, like, the Infinity Gems. But, like, Captain Marvel, for me to take this movie seriously as something worthy of being called, like, Marvel's first female superhero movie, it should have had its ability to breathe on its own as an origin story, and it didn't, because it is literally
so
a stopgap between two Avengers movies. And
I mean, I'm sure she'll have probably a pretty big role in Endgame, but it's like,
because most people are dead. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like, I want to see
her being her.
Yeah. I want to know. Cause that's the problem with, like, Scarlet Witch, right? Like, she's not really a character. Like, the most characterization they did with her is they gave her a boyfriend, which is it. So
Black Widow has zero personality.
Yeah. And Black Widow. Like, and so it's like, oh, finally we get Captain Marvel, almost said America. Mm-hmm. And yes, she doesn't have, like, a boyfriend or something in the movie, which is cool.
Because she's clearly gay for Maria. She's clearly gay for Maria.
So it's like they're doing more than they did for the other ones, but they're not doing the same level they did for, like, Captain America and Iron Man.
Oh my god.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Iron Man got such an amazing origin story, because he gets this whole, like, redemption arc, and he builds the suit, and it's because that was part of when Marvel was just starting to get,
I guess, to be fair, that was before, but
they were starting to get franchises up and going, so they really had the time and the money to sink into making you care about these characters before they started with the Avengers nonsense and setting up the Civil War and the Infinity War, all of that fucking long story nonsense where every character gets about 3 lines of dialogue and 6 seconds of film time. And
I think that's the thing, is, like, I guess Iron Man's a bad comparison, but I would even say, like, Black Panther is a good comparison, because Black Panther got more time
to be Black Panther.
Yeah. And even Thor, right? Like,
Thor,
like,
got
even
a lot
Thor
of
Ragnarok, which is not an origin story.
No, but
that movie,
Thor got his own origin story in his own first film. Like, Thor.
Yeah.
Thor.
But that was still before the Avengers thing was, like, huge, right? Like,
yeah, no, Black Panther, I think, is an interesting anomaly in that respect, where Black Panther also had enough room to breathe as its own story, which then is funny because you catch it on the back end, where these characters that you just saw, like, 3 months prior to and just got invested in all fucking die at the end of fucking Avengers.
Yeah.
So it caught it. It didn't catch it in the beginning. It caught it on the back end. And I was, like, so angry about that. I was like,
I wonder if part of the reason Black Panther works is because it's so disconnected from
the rest of the MCU, like, ongoing
because
story.
Captain Marvel's so interested in, like you said, S.H.I.E.L.D. or, like, you know, like,
well,
Nick Fury and stuff like that.
Black
Like, she's not just on another planet. She's just on I mean, she's dealing with all the, like, Earth stuff.
Black Panther also got brought into the story in an oblique way before he got his own film, too.
Yeah,
like,
in
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so Civil War, right?
Yeah, Civil War. Yeah. No, not Winter Soldier, Civil War. Yeah. So, like, we had a little bit more time with Black Panther, but yeah, his story didn't get brought into the fold of the larger events. We were given time to see the before the inciting incident and after the inciting incident and sort of how that all unfolded and where that all went. But, oh man, Captain Marvel really doesn't have any time to do anything because you have to set up where she came from. Oh, wait, she doesn't even fucking remember where she came from for half the fucking film. And then by the time you get to that point, you have to shuffle her very quickly to get her ready for the, like, 20 years in the future when she has to take care of the Avengers stuff.
Yeah. Because I think, like, from a storytelling standpoint, you don't want to start with her having glowing eyes and magical flat powers.
No, she's got to work her way up to it. Yeah. But the way forward to that is extremely complicated.
Yeah. It's just like, and it's like, I think with time, when you think about it without like, just like right coming after it, like, I thought of it a little bit more fondly. It's like, okay, well, yeah, like they did what they had to do. And like some of the parts do stick out that were pretty good, I guess. But if you kind of forget about the bad writing and stuff, but it still does feel just really constrained.
It does.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's really good, but I think there's definitely parts where it's like, oh, they were almost there with some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
there's pieces of like a good film here.
It's just
it doesn't have time.
If this had come out 2 years earlier, this would have been an amazing film. It would have been on par with Black Panther, I think. If Black Panther and maybe Winter Soldier are like the high watermarks of like Ragnarok too, of what you can really crank out in the Marvel universe by letting a story have its own identity and its own time period to exist in. Yeah.
Think about how cool it would have been if it ended the way it does, where she does all this amazing stuff and then you're like, oh wait, she's like in a different time.
Ooh.
And so what's going to happen? And then it's like you watch Avengers and stuff and it's like, oh my gosh, where's Carol? And then they call her, right? And then it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that'd be amazing. But since we know that, it's just like, okay, well, yeah, get to the Avengers. We need to like save the world now.
Imagine if this movie had come out 2 years ago. And then when Nick Fury at the end of Avengers hits the symbol, everybody would have gone off the fucking rails.
Yeah, that would have been amazing because everybody would have been like, oh my gosh, because she had all the powers, she'll fix stuff. That's
her. Like,
but instead, it's just like, wait, who? Oh, the next movie. Oh, okay.
Well, here's the thing, is that symbol meant zero to me because I don't read the comics. And so
somebody told me, like, oh, that's the Captain Marvel thing. Like, oh.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Well, I don't
But
have
we
any
knew the movie was coming out then, so it's just like, oh,
I
okay.
know, but I didn't have a frame of reference for why that was a big deal. And also because people who had already said, well, it's going to take place in the past, I'm like, is that why he has a beeper? Is he calling her in the past?
So wait, did you not even know that Captain Marvel was basically like Superman for Marvel?
No.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Because that was always a thing of why they probably waited, at least somebody thought it was a good idea to wait, is because you don't want to introduce the character that has like God powers into the universe that quickly.
Well, let's also be a little real here, Tyler. And
yes, there's Thor.
Well, no, let's also be real here. I think they waited on it because they didn't want, when they were sort of setting this all up, I don't think they initially were going to have a Captain Marvel movie.
I think that's why the Avengers happened before Captain Marvel.
I know.
Is there like, yeah.
No, I don't mind that it came now because I think that that meant that they could really blow the fucking budget on the special effects, which is great. But on the other hand, as a story, its placement in the story, it sucked balls.
Yes. And yeah, no, I don't think any of that excuses it. I just think, like, from like a weird power level issue, it's like, yeah, she can just like fly around in space and fly in through ships. So
that doesn't make any sense to me because she got hit. Well, okay, I guess because initially when it was just sort of like, oh, she got hit with like a photon engine, I barely something, grasp yeah. physics, but yeah. I know that photons are just light particles, and light particles, I don't know what light particles do to make a human being not decompose in space.
I don't want to say what I'm going to say.
But then they introduced the Tesseract, and I was like, well, okay.
There
she's
you go.
Just a human Tesseract.
Yeah.
She's literally just a human Tesseract. Like,
I could be completely wrong, but I thought that Captain Marvel in the comics gets powers from like exposure to some planet or something.
Maybe, probably.
I thought that's what it was, but I could be completely wrong. But all I know is I remember when they announced Captain Marvel, everyone was like, she's like a god. I don't know how you're going to make that work because she just flies around and like destroys planets or like, you know, like she could just do whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. But yeah, so when they ended it with that, I think that was cool. But it just didn't really, it's just like, oh, okay, so that's how she fits into Avengers. Like all of this is just how that fits into Avengers. Which, I don't know. I feel like this is such a common complaint, I guess. Everybody complains about, like, the big budget mainstream Marvel movies, but you just really see it through everything now with all the movies. Like, it's not invisible. It's not subtle anymore that they're trying to make, like, the movies their own thing. They just feel like pieces to a bigger puzzle every single time, and that's not a good thing.
It's not good because it makes me actually lose interest in kind of who these characters are, and that sucks because I feel like Captain Marvel could be the character that I could care about the most. And this goes back to what you're saying, is that Captain Marvel is a character that sort of seems designed to uniquely appeal to me, and maybe this will get me to pick up the comics, but predominantly I've always been interested in Marvel movies and TV shows, because for me, comics are expensive. They are time consuming to read.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with.
Obtuse,
extremely hard. Like just the, like, it's easier for me to digest film narratives and TV narratives. And you gave me a character who has a sense of humor, who's told to constantly keep her emotions in check, who has memory issues, who was lied to, who
felt like she couldn't do something just because people told her she couldn't.
And I know that's the
big thing.
Thrust of the film. Yeah. And yet you didn't give me any time to love her, so I don't care. And
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I thought the scene where she's getting up a bunch, even though it was like good, I still felt like there wasn't quite enough to sell me on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess, which that's probably not super popular because I feel like other people really like that scene, but it's just like, oh, but you can't just put this here. Like we weren't 100% here, but okay.
Yeah.
I'll take the leap.
Yeah, no, like, God, that's the thing that bothered me so much about this film, is it had all of the pieces. It really wanted you to be, like, gung-ho, this is a feminist movie, capital F feminist, like, you know, feminist behind Beyonce, lit up in lights feminist.
Yeah.
But it sort of meted out into, like, that, like, Jennifer Lawrence image where she's just saying gay rights in quotes.
Yeah.
Like, feminism quotes, like, or like girl power, because it just like every scene where she's like rising up against dudes or dude kind is the worst writing in the film, and
they
it's
also
ham-fisted.
Played that Gwen Stefani song.
All of the 90s songs that they have in every scene are so like ham-fisted.
That song specifically is horrible.
Like, hey guys, did you remember it's the 90s? And I'm this is...
But it's also like, isn't Gwen Stefani also not great?
No, she's not. That's the thing, is that like oh my God, the whole history of No Doubt, I could really go into that, but like...
Oh God, yeah.
The funniest part about this, the ironic part about this is that Gwen Stefani was like hailed as this like punk ska, like rebel girl feminist, except for the fact that, like, she was, at the time that she wrote that song, extremely, like, recalcitrant about being labeled, like, girl power. And she has never, through her career, ever been, like, really progressively, like, yeah, I'm all for, like, the material, you know, material empowerment of women and stuff like that. She's always been kind of, like, hedgy about that stuff. So that song being there is just more like, oh, hey, guys, it's the 90s. And it also didn't fit the scene. None of the songs
fit the scene. Well, because to me, it felt like, hell yeah, she's beating up this guy. Girls, whoa, am I right? And
girls,
it's like,
am
oh,
I right? Yeah. It sucks because, like, As a feminist media critic, there's been so many leaps and bounds in the last couple of years of, like, women carrying these really intense films and
yeah,
doing some amazing stuff. Like, just, like, I mean, like, you look at, like, somebody like, oh, God, every name that I'm ever going to think of is going to escape me here. But, like, there's so many films coming out with women antagonists, protagonists.
I mean, didn't you just watch, isn't it, like, Widows that you watched?
Widows,
that, like,
yeah. Like, yeah. I mentioned Widows, and, like, that movie is entirely fronted by women, four different women actresses.
Yeah.
And that film is 100% about those women's motivations, their character, their place in the world. And I got more from that film, despite the fact that that movie is not just about that. Like, that whole film was very much framed as, like, women can't pull this off because it's a heist. And even though the movie is really kind of much larger about, like, local politics and corruption and that sort of thing, there is an undergirding of gender politics to it that is extremely strong. And Viola Davis just knocks the shit out of it out of the park. She just fucking goes for it because she's not likable. She is not a likable woman, but she gets shit done.
Would you say that, like, some of Captain Marvel, not the whole thing because that would be, like, reductive, but mm-hmm. like some of it is very, like, strong female lead, like,
extremely.
With the no, you know what I mean? Yeah,
extremely. The only thing that, like, so I hated the dialogue that, like, they even had that one scene where this like biker guy just rolls up and is like, smile,
oh my God,
honey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I felt like a male writer wrote that. I don't actually know
who wrote this film.
But, like, that felt like pulled out of, like, somebody's, like, Twitter drafts of, like, I saw this
woman.
That felt
like not a scene in this movie.
No,
I forgot until you just mentioned it that happened.
Okay, apparently the screenplay is written by Anna Boden, Ryan Fleck, and Geneva.
Yeah,
Robertson.
I was gonna say, I think the writing staff was definitely mostly women, or definitely had some women.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But it had all this, like, ham-fisted, like, girl power sort of stuff where you're supposed to be like, yeah, Carol, you tell him, except that you gave no time for Carol to be a woman in her own right. The only thing I really liked about this film in terms of Carol was that she was vaguely allowed to be given a friendship with another woman. Again, Maria Rambeau, also super underdeveloped.
Yeah.
But also that she was allowed to have a sense of humor. That's the one thing I liked about this fucking film, because, like, strong female lead characters always have to be, like, stoic and tormented, like, very, like a guy character. That's their whole thing.
Yeah,
but
that was always the, yeah.
But Captain Marvel is at least allowed to smile and crack jokes and be sort of sardonic and snotty.
And they do a really good job at never sexualizing, like, anything, like, any like interactions with dudes, really. It felt
that's the thing that I noticed was, like, I was like, oh God, we just got through this whole film and no one, like, creepily hit on her. She never
she
had
was
to
even
wear
fighting guys, and there was nothing weird.
She never had
usually
to wear, like,
that's
a sexy
people,
she never had to wear a sexy costume. She never, like, had, like, a ripped shirt or, like, whatever. So,
even at the beginning of the movie when she was fighting the guy, I was like, oh, is this gonna be weird? Is he gonna, like, is this weird? And then it never was.
It never was, which is
which,
like,
is cool, but
which
I was
is
just
cool.
Like, oh wow, all right.
So that's where I found the most value from that. But given the fact that I think that we really have to ask bigger... We have to have bigger asks for the kinds of female characters that we set to lead a film. Everything else was terrible. Like, at the end, when she, like, has that other Cree guy down on the ground, and he was like, you have to control your emotions. And she's like, I don't have to prove anything to you, and punches him. I know that was supposed to be this big emotional payoff, and I was like, this is corny trash. Like, this is corny!
She didn't need to say it, because that was, like, the subtext of, like, she's just gonna do the thing that she wants to do.
Yeah.
Say it to the dude.
Oh, man. Like, you know, somebody in the writing room was like, oh, man. Like,
that's it. That's the line.
That's the line. That's the line. This man's been holding her back this entire time. And now she's finally free, baby. And she's gonna use all her power, and it's gonna be great. And I'm like, this is the corniest thing I've ever fucking watched. Like, this is the corniest shit. And it sucks, because Brie Larson's a really good actress. She is a good actress making the best of a fucking script that has no writing in it. Like, Samuel L. Jackson got more, like, characterization as young Nick Fury. Goose got more characterization.
I was thinking about this while you were talking about, like, strong female lead thing. And I was thinking, like, you know, it's funny, because I would almost say that even, like, She-Ra, like, Adora in the animated Netflix series is, like, more interesting than Captain Marvel.
Yeah, because Adora's allowed to be a dick. Like, Adora...
Like, and that's what you're saying is, like you can... It's not just being, like, strong female lead. It's, like, be a person.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting you bring that up, because She-Ra actually has, like, a lot of contemporary... Like, she's her contemporary run has a lot of parallels to Captain Marvel in the movie, because, like, they both are on technically the wrong side. She doesn't remember who she was before she gets her powers. She's obviously destined for bigger and better things. She has to leave people that she knows behind. But the thing is we don't care about any of those people.
Yeah.
Her, you know, like, and in Marvel, not in She-Ra. In She-Ra, you do care about it. And so, yeah, She-Ra, in, like, a handful of episodes, has more character development than a big-budget Marvel film. Like, that's wild. Like, I just...
And it's a younger audience thing, too.
Like, it's a kid's show. I mean, it's like a preteen, young teen show.
I mean, it shows that writing can do so much for you. Like,
writing, you know, like, is everything. And... Yeah. Marvel movies have never really been about writing, but they have been better or worse in places. And this movie had so little writing. Like, nothing. Like, just, I want to see what the pages look like, because the dialogue was weak. Like, I have a lot of issues understanding dialogue in films when I go to see them in the theater.
Yeah.
Because I have auditory processing problem.
Also, just the mixing's bad in a lot of these movies.
The mixing is terrible. You know? Like,
but
I stopped needing to understand what was being said in this film. And even when I did try, it didn't make any sense, because I didn't know who they were referring to. There's a lot of, like, comic book stuff I clearly didn't know about. Like, the fact that I didn't know that the Kree were bad. I didn't know that the Skrull were not bad until that's revealed. I didn't know anything about Captain Marvel. The only thing that actually kind of... I knew a bit about Nick Fury, because I've seen every other Marvel film. And I know a lot about Agent Coulson, because I watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. Everything else, like, this... They really wanted to, like, really hype up that this takes place in the 90s, and it's sort of reduced to, like, a couple of musical posters and
musical choices. Yeah, they have pagers. Communication devices, pagers.
Yeah, pagers. which is also funny, because they don't give a precise date of when she lands. But all of the music choices are from different years, which I found really funny. And if the, like, posters in that one scene were Smashing Pumpkins, that album... So let's say that Smashing Pumpkins. Okay, Smashing Pumpkins. The Melancholy. That album came out 1995. And she's wearing a Nine Inch Nails shirt. Now, Nine Inch Nails had not fallen out of vogue in 1995, but a retailer would not be selling a Nine Inch Nails shirt like that out on a model when Nine Inch Nails... Down the Spiral, I believe, like, had been out, like, several years at that point. The Downward Spiral had been out since, well, no, it was in 94. So maybe fudged that a little bit. That could actually work. But, like,
I think, like, even watching the movie, you just see that stuff and it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Yep, I get it. It's the 90s. And the funniest thing is that there's going to be a ton of people who watch this film who have no point of reference for that stuff. Like, no point of reference. I barely did. So. Yeah, like, this was funny to me because all of these songs are from when I was 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah.
And
I don't have much of a frame reference, but even to me, I was just like, yeah, all right, yep, okay, all right, movie. Mm-hmm. Yes, I realize it's the 90s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, early 90s, like early to mid 90s. Yeah. And I just didn't care. Yeah. God. Fuck. Oh my God. I hate it. But like, it didn't do anything to really, like, I didn't care that much about it because the only reason they needed to do that is because they clearly need to position her origin story in the 90s so that by the time that.
Yeah. Avengers. My brain, by the way. You're just saying my brain.
And by the time the Avengers rolls around, she's like 20 years older. Like, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's so silly. And then it's like, the biggest parts about the writing was that we never had any time to care about the characters. We didn't have any time to really sit and think about the themes, like, man, the idea of the Skrull being scattered homeless refugees in this 2019 is something you could dig so deep into right now, and you're not. Yeah. It doesn't have time for it. You don't have time for Carol and Maria's relationship, whatever that may be. You don't have time for that. You don't have time for... you don't have time for literally anything. And so the dialogue feels flat. There's plot holes. There's really odd pacing. The movie is broken up into like fourths and it just goes crazy in the middle. Like, it doesn't really have a coherent act structure. The only really cool part that I felt so jazzed about is when she, like, obviously over, you know, like, very expectedly overcomes the powerful AI, although we don't really know why or how, other than she, like, you know, uses her photon hands.
She glowed, made her hands glow.
She made her hands glow. She broke free of the super powerful AI.
I would assume that, like, she broke free, but I don't know if she destroyed it.
She didn't destroy it, but, like, she got that, like, whatever that limiter was on her neck, clearly. Yeah. And then, like, can become full, like, photon gal, I guess. And then, like, that was the cool part. That was the payoff. Yeah. But the problem is I didn't have any emotional buildup to that.
Yeah, because none of that works if you don't write it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's how stories work. You can't.
So you're supposed to feel, like, this rush of emotions about, like, strong female empowerment. Superhero, and because I never read the comics, wasn't there. Like, it was cool looking. I had that, like, moment of, like,
but it also went on for too long because it wasn't earned enough. Like, it wasn't like elation. It was just like, oh yeah, all right, she's really strong now, I guess. Yeah,
I barely knew that it was coming. I mean, obviously it telescoped it from the moment the movie started, but, like, the movie spent so much time skipping over so many different things that, like, you never had time to care about any of it. And it sucks because I could easily relate to Carol Danvers, you know, having a messed up memory, being kidnapped, being used. These are all things that you can dig so deep into to really craft this, like, amazing allegorical, like, female fights against the power story. 100%. What do men do in the face of a woman with unquestionable cosmic power? That's a huge question. That is a huge question because it changes everything. I don't know. This movie didn't do anything to really.
And it's like, I really did think the stuff about just like I at least sort of saw like what they maybe were trying to do with the stuff. It's like, she's trying to, you know, she's getting up again. It's like, you know, all the men telling her like she can't do this thing. And it's like, it's not even that, like, it's that thing of like being a woman where it's like, you're told you can't do a thing, even though you're like trying to do it and you're getting better or whatever. You're just told you just fundamentally can't do the thing. Yeah. And so it's like, that part about it was like, okay, like, I get, like, that's a real thing. And I totally understand why that works for her or whatever, but they just don't really dwell on it much. They just make it like an emotional scene and then try to pay it off with where she gets up a lot, which, I mean, it kind of works, but like, it mostly works just because I read into it a bunch, I think. But
yeah,
I think that part, at least that was my favorite implication, maybe, or like implied part about it, because it just felt like, okay, yeah, that is like a thing that it, you just constantly feel like you can't do a thing just because it's like, it's never either been done before, it's uncommon or whatever, so you should just stop trying. And so that part was something, but it just isn't important to the narrative, really. It's just like one scene.
It's
so, I don't know.
They brought in their big heavy hitter on the edit in the editing department, for sure. That scene was so well edited. It, when Marvel films are very rarely shot well or edited well, with the exception of Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok, Thor Ragnarok was a visual masterpiece, I will say that. But, like, with the exception of, they just used too many, like, profile shots. But, they brought in the big guns for that scene. That, I feel like that was supposed to be the real, like, emotional payoff.
I think it was supposed to really pay off and, like, no, she can do the thing. It doesn't matter if she has magical powers. She can just do the thing.
It was more emotional when I saw it cut into the trailer.
Yeah.
And I was like, they showed that already. That was their money shot.
I don't think I saw that trailer, but I could see that.
They showed either it as a trailer or as a standalone thing, and I was like, yeah! If this is what this movie is about, us walking through all these moments in her life, that's gonna be fucking great.
And the movie kinda teases that a little bit, because it kinda does some of that
for three seconds.
With her, like, a few seconds, but not even that scene. But before that, they, like, you know, when she has the memories, it's like, oh, are we gonna, like, go back to all these moments where she couldn't do a thing, or she thought she couldn't do a thing? Don't do that. They just sort of vaguely show it and then try to pay that off.
Yeah, which is, man, if they had, again, if this had come out 2 years ago, if she had been given the access to an origin story and all of those, that's the thing, is that the memory thing actually did such a big disservice to them getting to flesh out her character, because she just spent the entire time having these flashbacks that are just like 2 seconds long are not a good replacement for a story.
Yeah, because that's just visual. It's barely any like narrative, really, right?
Like you understand that maybe, like, literally all of Carol's backstory is recounted to her in like 5 lines said between Maria and Monica Rambeau.
Yeah, they, like, have to do so much.
It's all like,
yeah,
you know, the whole thing of like show don't tell.
Yeah,
it's all tell. Yeah, like
that's the '90s thing too, right? Is like the '90s thing is like, hey, we're just gonna like overdo all these references and not just make it subtle.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't know.
I feel bad because I have a feeling that one of the reasons why people were so hyped for this movie is because, from what I can tell, the comic books are really about this shit.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel in the comic books is given so much more growth and time, and the writing is fantastic, and you really get that, like, oomph. You really get that, like, that punch.
People say she's, like, the Superman of Marvel. Yeah. Like, she's just really, really powerful, and she's also a woman, though.
But what's interesting, yeah, she's a woman.
Yeah.
And that always is something that I always think about when it comes to people talking about diversity, is like, I don't want to think about diversity from just, you know, a representational standpoint, although that is very important.
Yeah.
There's so many things you can do with people's stories when they already have this twist to their life that is being the person that they are in the situation that they are in. And what's more interesting than a person who has always been told that they can't do something? And that's the reason that why Spider-Man was so good with Miles Morales. That's why Captain Marvel had this potential to be good. These are all people that don't ever get their stories told, that don't ever, I mean, like, okay, I'll be a little less hyperbolic with regard to Captain Marvel, because white women constantly have their stories told, but from just a gender perspective, making a character a woman automatically in our modern contemporary society, or our society as we know it, it just puts the set of questions in front of the writer of, how are you going to handle this? How is this character going to move through the world? Because there's always going to be this, like, challenge. And challenge is how characterization and growth occurs. So it's just like, that's the idea of Superman, but a woman. You're like, don't all these questions come to your brain because suddenly she's not a white guy? There's so many more things that sort of just pop up. There's so many more things about that, you know, and that just makes it a much more compelling hook to the story. So I get what they were trying to do, for sure. They just never got around time to do it. And that big and powerful scene where she's standing up multiple times, we barely got to even see those scenes that are being referenced there. So it's just, I know, lost. Yeah. Like, I barely know what her father is about. I barely understand that, like, scene where she's in the fucking race car, you know, or on the playground. It's like, we have never been told anything about Carol's actual life other than what Monica and Maria said. Like, oh, like, literally, Carol and Maria's entire time in the Air Force is summarized as, well, you know, at the time, women weren't allowed to be combat pilots. That's literally it. That's literally everything. And, like, the one scene where she remembers a guy saying, you know why they call it a cockpit? Again, also the corniest fucking dialogue ever.
This, like, movie just... Gosh, this movie is... It's funny that this movie is, like, fictionally out of time. It's also just, like, actually out of time.
Yeah, it's... Exactly. Like, literally, actually everything. Like, I'm just... God, that's such a good... Captain Marvel, out of fucking time. Like, out of fucking time. Oh, my God. Let's... Oh God, that's a mood. That's a mood right there. Like, like Captain Marvel, reclaim your time. I just, that makes me so annoyed because, like, I know that institutional sexism is not something that you can just, like, throw into your story and throw to it and then walk back out of it again. But, like, they really tried to do that.
I think there are ways you could deftly
absolutely,
you know, like, and they just, wow, no, they didn't do it
well. It's like, there's so many, like, there's so many better examples now in cinema of really telling a story through the lens of oppressive behavior, and it's not corny dialogue. Like, yes, I have 100% had guys say really corny, stupid shit like that to me before. But for the most part, the compelling, and I hate to use the word compelling here, the real, like, stuff in stories that really kind of gets under your skin and really reflects your experiences as like a woman or a person of color or a queer person or anybody who's marginalized is that like real, not top level stuff. It's the bottom level stuff. It's the real, like, not outward comments, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not a guy saying, oh, you know what a cockpit's for, sweetie or baby or whatever. It's like, it would be like a scene of like, you know, Carol and Maria, like, you know, you see like other male pilots flying off and they're just like, you know, wiping down a plane or something like that. You like, you have, yeah, there's so many things that you could do that's so much more subtle that really is going to get and dig into your skin. You know, like I am remembering the like scene from, oh, what was like Hidden Numbers, I think was that movie? Hidden Figures, where you basically watch Taraji P. Henson's characters, like a character, yeah, walk across the NASA campus multiple times a day to use the bathroom for black women, basically. And it culminates. Right, and
that's like a way of showing
that she has all,
yeah,
the, and no dialogue, like no dialogue. Right. She just has to run across a parking lot and this and that and thing. And it does culminate in a scene where she was, you know, where he's like, I can't have you not at your desk all day. And she explodes at him and she's like, you know, I have to walk like this many,
yeah,
know, steps to get to just to use the fucking bathroom. So it, right, explodes into something that's major. But you've already gotten the weight of that experience,
yeah, through what early film does best too. Like, yes, it's not even just a bunch of writing. It's just like, here's just like this laborious moment and that we cut to all the time that you remember because for some, you know, you, yeah, have to watch her do this.
Editing and visuals can do, yeah, so much heavy lifting. Again, MCU, not great on those either. But at no point are we ever really given any sort of indication that Captain Marvel has been held back other than what other characters have sort of told her.
Yeah.
That's like, even when she's fighting that dude and he's like, oh, you have to control your emotions. Like,
even that line is really
corny
too, you know?
Yeah, corny. It's a, yeah, it's a show don't tell moment. Yeah. Again, we're telling and not showing. And it's like, the resistance she meets is extremely, off key. It's momentary. I don't get a struggle from her other than the couple of like moments with like her memory.
Yeah.
So it makes the struggle invisible.
Which that could be something too, just being really like, you know, losing your memories and being frustrated and confused like that, like you were talking about. Like that's something.
That could have easily, yeah, been an allegory for something bigger because, yeah, that's a trauma thing.
Like, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like they potentially could deal with trauma, but they don't really.
She, I mean, like for all intents and purposes, she has PTSD. This is not, yeah, an alien thing. Like, this is not an alien thing. She went, yeah, through an extremely horrifying like crash. People get PTSD from car, yeah, crashes, and to think,
and the scenes with the whatever it's called, the I always forget the name of the AI thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's AI. I think it's actually like a thing, but
no, it's the anyway. Supreme Intelligence is an AI. It's literally said the artificial intelligence that rules the Kree.
Oh,
civilization.
Well, I think in the comics, it's like an actual like monstery thing.
Oh, it is. It is.
I think, okay, so. But anyway, when she's talking to that, like, it is sort of like I was saying earlier, like almost like therapy, like talking through that stuff.
Yeah.
But they just don't. It just doesn't get, like, she, you know, like we said, like, she just breaks free and does something else. Like, I don't know. It just isn't anything.
Yeah.
There's just, missing, like, little moments, yeah.
Her missing memory is a function of it's a MacGuffin for the story versus, like,
yeah,
it being a important part of her character. Like, man, if you were damaged so badly in a plane crash that your memories were, like, obliterated and you sort of get the sense that maybe her memories were obliterated by the Kree instead. Mm-hmm. You'd think like man, if you have repressed memories about getting shot and like crash landing, and that's the thing, is that the crash landing is a spoiler, so they can't telescope that very hard.
Yeah.
You would think the first time she gets back into a plane, she would just like shake.
Yeah.
Or be terrified.
There'd
or
be
not,
something, or at least just something wrong
or
with
not
it,
like, know why some, she yeah. was nauseous yeah. and she steps yeah. into a plane to go on a mission and she's fine. Like,
yeah, they just use that as like, yeah, she can fly stuff.
Yeah, she's fine. Like, she wouldn't, you know, like, because the thing is that when bad stuff happens to you, really bad stuff, really, really bad stuff that creates an impression in your brain acts out and manifests it in
yeah.
really weird ways that you don't even connect back to the inciting incident, other than this like vague sense of this vague sense of unease.
Right,
when
which they try
something.
To kind of do in those scenes with the intelligence thing, but never lasts more than 15 seconds.
And you always get a sense of it's like she's struggling to remember her repressed memories, and not that it's a function of deep trauma.
Yeah,
you know, like,
and they also care more about like, oh, her name's actually Carol.
Yeah, like instead of Veers or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is like, no.
Verse or whatever, yeah. Verse,
no, they say
yeah.
Veers. They say Veers, and I'm like,
yeah,
no, it's Verse.
Yeah.
It's Verse.
It Verse.
Like,
yeah.
It's, no,
yeah,
like,
I don't
they,
know why they say, I don't.
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Like.
This movie is just, it's just not very good.
It's not. It's really, yeah. It was fun, not good,
yeah,
though.
It was
like,
fun, but.
The musical choices were, like, very ham-fisted. The dialogue was extremely ham-fisted. The, like, girl power aspect, extremely ham-fisted, not very well done. I liked that Ben Mendelsohn got a moment to not be in, like, de-aging CGI and got to instead being in prosthetics. Like, Ben Mendelsohn is one day, his beautiful craggy face will literally be able to be enjoyed on, like, like, I just... Because he was like, I really liked him in Star Wars, like in the last Star Wars film I saw him in, but like he just doesn't get his due, I guess. Like, you know, like he's just got such a great comedic timing and stuff like that, but like I spent most of this film being extremely confused because I didn't understand a lot of the context around Captain Marvel or remembered contextual things from like Guardians of the Galaxy or Avengers,
yeah,
or whatever that was important. But also like I just didn't care about the characters that much after a while. And Nick Fury had more characterization because he had other movies to be in before this. And
yeah,
there was a lot of references to stuff that, like, oh, he's starting the Avengers program, or oh,
his
that's
eye.
How his eye, you know, like,
yeah,
again, Goose, amazing, Goose,
yeah,
big spoiler.
I
Goose
was so confused
of
why people were so interested in the cat.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be like an MIB, like a, you know, Men in Black situation of like, oh, the universe is literally on the collar around the neck of, like, you know, like how in that movie the universe is on the collar around
I thought it was just going to be like, the cat's cute and she's got a cat. I thought that was it. I thought just people thought like, oh my God, they actually gave it a poster. I didn't realize it was like a monstrous like being.
Yeah, it's a Flerken.
Flerken, yeah.
Which
I guess,
is funny because that basically is like, you know, like female Kraken or whatever, or not like female, a feline Kraken. You could think thought of it that way, but like
I guess like in the comics or something, like Rocket Raccoon like is like, hey Carol, the cat's a Flerken, and she doesn't believe it, and then like they eventually figure it out, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And it's like the last of its kind or something.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, in the comics. I don't know about it in the movies, but and so like she puts it in like this, because it has like babies or something.
Oh,
and
okay.
They like put it in this like chamber to like hopefully like bring back the Flerken, I guess, but then it like teleports to her. So it has like magical powers, I don't know.
Magical, but, like, it also is apparently contained within the body of what looks like a cat, but
yeah,
also
they
has
all look
like
cats.
But also, like, apparently it's, like, bigger on the inside than it is
on the
outside.
Yeah, because I guess, like, the inside of it is, like, a void, It's like yeah, that's like, it's so it can hold anything inside of it, I guess.
So it's
that's
a bag of holding. It's literally a bag of holding.
Yeah, it's a bag literally of holding, yeah.
It's a magical bag of holding creature. Yeah. Like that's
I did not know there was like Cthulhu-y stuff in Marvel, but I guess I'm not surprised.
Yeah, everybody loves tentacles, yeah. I guess, at the end of the day. And it was, you know, because I have an orange cat. I have an orange tabby. Yeah. So that was, that tickled me quite a bit. But I also thought that Goose got a lot of really good scenes, which was great. But it also, like, made me wonder how the Tesseract got from the Flerken to where it ends up in the first
I was listening to that podcast and they explained the timeline of it, because there is a timeline that you can, I don't know if anybody's written it, but you can definitely like put it together, and somehow it gets like, because doesn't the Tesseract like get in possession of that guy in Guardians of the Galaxy, right? And so like I think that's like the next step,
but that's
is, like,
but that's, no, it's in the first Thor movie first, and then goes to
Thor,
the Collector.
Yeah, I don't know how it gets to Thor.
Well, because here's the thing. The Tesseract is Asgardian technology. And
right.
It's in the hands of S.H.I.E.L.D. We know why now. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is testing it because it's an unlimited source of power, which, again, is some straight-up comic bullshit.
There's
unlimited source of power. Okay, cool, whatever. Because I think basically the Asgard's basically like one of the reasons that Asgardian technology is light years ahead of anything any other civilization has, with the exception of every other civilization that we end up seeing, is that Asgardians have access to essentially, I think the Tesseract is essentially like, has the energy potential of like an ever refreshing like Big Bang in a very small package, I believe, as far as I can tell, or it's like literally powered by the power of like space-time. That's why it's called the Tesseract. But like, and that's as far as I know, but like in the first Thor film, they're playing around with it because it could literally solve all of the energy crises on Earth. And that's when Loki shows up, because Loki wants the Tesseract. And apparently it can do all this like crazy stuff. So again, it's like a magical MacGuffin in the movie and things like that. But like, yeah, it's like weird how it goes from the Flerken to, you know, that. It sets off a lot of the Thor storyline as we know it. But everybody wants it because it can do literally anything. I've seen it do like mind control people.
Yeah, it's funny that like they talk about the Infinity Gauntlet. It's like, what's the difference between that and the Tesseract, really?
And I have a feeling that probably the Tesseract is going to play a key feature.
You think? Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It has to. It's something that's more powerful than the Infinity Gauntlet. Well,
I
yes
don't think
no.
that's true to like
yes
people
and no.
who know, but yeah, like effectively no.
Time stuff, yes. The fact that the Infinity Gauntlet can literally undo reality, which is funny because Thanos never really uses it to undo reality. He just uses it to kill everybody.
Yeah, and like go somewhere.
Yeah, when literally if he has the power of reality, he can literally just remake all of creation. That's why the Infinity Stone shit is so silly, is because he doesn't have just like Greek god level powers. He has literal omnipotence. He can literally unmake reality. He could literally create his own private universe where only he lives. That's not the level of power you ever want to give somebody in a story, because then where do you go from there?
I have no idea what happens after Endgame. Like, what do you do? What is the conflict after that?
no idea, because yeah. they've been building this since the first yeah. Avengers film.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
And they've also introduced Captain Marvel now. That's the thing, is like, when you introduce Captain Marvel, you're dealing with planet stuff now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You, it is no longer just like a guy that's like really angry and on Earth. You can't do that with Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Because she'll just like to punch him through the Earth. Like, that doesn't yeah, work. Like... Yeah. So it's like, it's really weird. I mean, it's interesting, but it's just like, I don't know what they do, but mm-hmm. I'll be there for the ride, I guess.
I mean, that's the thing. Marvel's already got my money. I go, I show up, I eat popcorn. I don't really care about the story too much. I just like the fights. I kind of, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. It sucks because I used to be more invested back when it was like, you know, you really got to care about Iron Man or Spider-Man or Captain America, who's my favorite. You really got a sense of who they were as characters. You really felt for them as characters. And now it's kind of just like, okay.
Yeah.
How are they going to pull themselves out of
some
this
one? Some ways it feels like you just have to keep up.
You just do. Yeah. And it's funny because then you have films that are so totally different, like Ant-Man and Wasp and Thor Ragnarok, that mm-hmm. are so loosely connected to the overall story, with some exceptions, that like you have so much more fun because they get to be characters and they get to just be goofy comic book superheroes doing silly stuff. And then you have the situation of where Thor Ragnarok ends and everybody's having a really good time. And then the very beginning of Avengers Infinity War, they all die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I kind of want this whole phase of MCU to end just because I want characters to have their own self-contained stories from now on again.
Yeah.
You know, I want the mundane. Oh.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is like, if Endgame is timey-wimey,
yeah,
you know, they could turn it back to where they could well, I don't know if they could like culturally reset the stakes, you know what I mean, but they could reset them a bit, and maybe that's why Spider-Man is the way it is too. Like, it's like, oh, by the way, you don't remember any of that.
Yeah, exactly. But that's yeah. also going to be its own issue, because yeah. as we were talking about last night, anything to do with time, you're writing yeah. yourself into a potential corner.
Well, they handled normal non-time travel stories so well with Captain Marvel, so I'm sure it'll be fine.
Oh my god, don't even like, just, you're just making me angry now, like but I think we should probably
yeah.
give our final thoughts about this. We've been talking a lot longer than we usually do, but I figure, you know, we had a lot of feelings about this, a lot of Captain Marvel feelings. And it's funny,
now
we didn't
everybody
actually...
knows that we're not feminists because we don't like this movie.
I know. I had to turn in my feminist card. It was like yeah. a big thing, you know, like I as like I kind of just, as I was like saying to you in DMs, like, I wish there had been stakes. There was a lot of emotional whiplash. I'm guessing it's like super lucky that Captain Marvel was just magically not part of the like 50% of all people that were killed.
Yeah. I mean, when was that like plot point ever not lucky? Like, ever not constructed to just not
oh,
be like,
yeah. yeah. No, well, like,
I mean, I know what you mean, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think it's funny that that is a thing, and it's like, well, okay, of course it's only 50%, because then you can carefully choose who you want.
Yeah, but it's so funny because all this time I had really been like, I had really believed that the reason that certain characters made it through was for a particular reason. Like Ant-Man.
That wasn't business?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. like, on some level they tried to justify it, except for the fact that I watched Ant-Man, and literally what ties the Ant-Man movie into the, like, overall Avengers story is that Scott Lang is literally in the, like, quantum state when this happens.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would necessarily save him, because apparently being off planet also is a win condition for yeah. Captain Marvel. So, like, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, so it's just like,
I guess I feel bad, because it's like you went through like, wait, there's a reason. No, there's not a reason. And for me, it was just like, there can't be a reason. It just has to be that they want to, like,
keep these. Yeah, yeah, man. Everything would be fucking fucked if Captain Marvel wasn't alive anymore.
Right, yeah. And if nobody had any time travel-y stuff, like, it's all just necessary is the thing, I guess. Yeah,
so, well, I guess Endgame or End Time or whatever it's called is going to just be us sitting in the theater saying, well, how are they going to get out of this one? Yeah. And no character is going to have more than three lines of dialogue. You can't. Unless they have a death scene, but, you know, and I have a feeling there will be death scenes.
That's sad. Yeah.
It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, there's people going to die in that movie because.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans want to not be superheroes anymore. So.
Yeah.
You know. Also, last.
Also,
note,
what?
The only thing I really caught as far as like Easter eggs in this movie was that Monica Rambeau is a character name I do remember in that she is also a Captain Marvel in the comics.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I think Captain Marvel is... I could be wrong. It might be a theory. I'm not sure if it's in the comics, but I think she led the Avengers at some point. So I think that's what people think is going to happen, is she's just going to take place of Captain America.
Yeah, very
possible.
And just
be the leader. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes sense. So like a nod at like another Captain Marvel. I mean, they do that with Miles and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like there's room for many different people to take up the mantle. Like even
I just don't
Thor.
Think they'll ever do that in the MCU. Even though I know people do that in the comics, I just don't know if they'll ever make a hero you know as somebody else. Even though they do that, I know they do that. I just don't know if they'll actually do that in the films.
I think they'll start to do it once we hit, like, whatever Phase 5 is. I think is Phase 5.
My God, say things like that. Phase 5.
Phase 5 is
where
they're going
to be 40 years old and still have to remember all this crap.
Phase 5 is because of the timey-wimey shit that happens in Avengers. Everybody gets clocked back to, like, being a kid, and that's when all of the new origin stories get written.
God, and that's actually what a comic would do, so...
Yup.
Yeah.
So Captain America is going to be different. Captain Marvel will be different. We'll get Miss Marvel. You know,
a movie
like
about Tony Stark's dad.
Also, Thor maybe like Thor, because in the comics, Thor is Jane.
Still. Okay, I didn't. I know that happened a while ago. So
it happened a while ago, but yeah, I think she's still. I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's funny because, like, then you would have to bring in Natalie Portman, and she hasn't been in any of the Thor movies since the second one, so, like, that would be a thing, but, like...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that she just hasn't been in
the third. She wasn't in the third one, because
Yeah,
she
and she's
didn't
not
wanna...
even in the, like, Avengers or anything, like...
No, because she just never wanted to... Well, and then, like, we're never going to get Pepper Potts anymore, because she also doesn't want to be part of MCU, so... so many
I
things.
Mean, good, she's a weird actress.
Yeah, she is terrible. I hate
weird person.
Yeah. So I'm so sorry. We were like, oh yeah, we're gonna stop talking. So
we're just trying to match the length of the MCU movies. 5 hours.
5 hour podcast.
This is the post credits so far. This is the mid credit scene. There's gonna be a post credits one.
God, the post credit scene being Goose just hawking up a fucking Tesseract was the dumbest shit ever.
I feel like that was just a joke, right? Like, mostly just like, isn't that funny? It's like a hairball.
It's like a hairball. And I'm like, I could literally see this at my house for free. I waited through the credits for this.
It's funny.
It's bullshit. I hate it. Anyway. Do you have any final thoughts about the movie, Tyler?
Not really. I mean, I said everything. It's not, it's weird. It's like, it's not very good, but, you know, just like like every MCU movie, it's not very good, but I guess I'll watch it. I feel like it was just, I wanted it to be interesting, and it wasn't really interesting, where, like, Black Panther was sort of interesting, and, like, you've said, Thor Ragnarok is interesting, even if, like, well, I think, you like Thor Ragnarok, but, like...
I like Thor Ragnarok, yeah.
The best these movies have been usually is just like interesting, but this one just wasn't really interesting. So
yeah, exactly.
Disappointed, I guess.
I'm not disappointed so much because I kind of went in with low expectations, but I was actually shocked at how little
I went in with
low
expectations too, and it still was like, oh, this is really not that good.
This is underwhelming.
Yeah.
I like the sequence where she like turns into like full body like sun flare basically, and that was cool.
The mohawk.
That was cool.
Yeah. Glowing eyes is really good. When glowing she did her eyes just glow, it's like, oh.
Ooh, yeah. That's like the Avatar state. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so, you're like, oh shit, now shit's gonna get real. It's gonna get crazy in here.
And it's because I knew that she is just like a god, basically. I was like waiting for that, and then like, because I've all the like comic art I've seen of like the comic covers, her eyes are like glowing and she's like flying through space. So I'm like, when is that happening?
Yeah.
And I finally did it, yeah.
So anyway, Tyler, where can you be found on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TYLERCOLP. I'm also I write for BlizzardWatch.com every day. Also, I stream for them. It's twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch. You also stream for them. Is that it? That's all I've got.
And you can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider, which I also do stream at Blizzard Watch as well on Twitch. If you like the show, you can follow the show on Twitter at MISFcast as well, where you can tweet and retweet and all sorts of cool stuff. If you have any comments about Captain Marvel or the episode, just, you know, send it to us there. Or if you have any questions or comments about Captain Marvel, tell us your feelings. Tell us, did you also have to revoke your feminism card? That sort of thing. Yeah. You can write us.
I just got one too, so it's kind of...
I know, that's like... Man, like, yeah,
it was like
sucks.
The new edition for 2019.
Yeah, and it's gone now. It sucks. You can write us at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. Also, if you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps us out. And also, if you like the show, tell your friends. Word of mouth is how our show gets bigger, and that would be super cool. If you love the show, tell everybody you know. Let us know. It's super great. And our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers. You can find everything she does at MiniMyers.net. That's MIDIMYERS.net or Minnie Myers on Twitter. And that is it for us this week, because my voice is starting to go. So we will see you next time.
Bye.